All right, we'll say good morning. I apologize in advance. We're going to have to stop a little bit early today. It's Baruch Hashem, I have a bris that I have to attend. But we'll make good headway today. So we're going to start on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph, right? That's what you got into Zayin yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll say, if you remember again, the Gemara is focused on trying to interpret and understand a statement of Rav. Rav made what appeared to be at first a simple statement, but as in fact turned out to be quite a complex statement, where Rav said, Beitza Yisi Asa Nigmara, that an egg, when it comes out, and Yitziyasa, when it comes out of the mother, when it comes out of the hen, Nigmara, it is complete. It is complete. And the Gemara is struggling to understand what exactly that means. So the last approach of that is the Gemara suggesting that im yitzi asa nigmara umegadeles efrochim, that when an egg is laid by the hen, so that means again it has the ability to go ahead and become fertilized and therefore again hatch chicks itself, as opposed to an egg that's found inside of the mother, which does not yet have the capacity to be fertilized. So the Gemara says, fine, let's pick up with Oh, yeah, sorry, good, fine. Let's pick up last four words on Bavam Abbas. Kiyahu, the Amrluhu, like, so the Gemara tells a story. So remember again, the Gemara says, who cares? What is the statement of Rav matter? So the Gemara answered, it matters for Mekach Lememkar. It matters ultimately, again, for transactional purposes. The Gemara tells a story. Kiyahu, the Amrluhu, like an individual who said to another, Be'i depachya, the man Yahuvule, who has, literally translated, who has eggs from a cackling hen to give to me. And I will say, what does that mean from a cackling hen? The guy wanted to buy eggs that were laid by a live chicken, by a live hen. So who has freshly laid eggs? Okay, so the Gemara says, what happens? The buy Leman Yavule. So Yavule, excuse me, Leman, Yavule Bei Dishkuta. So what happens? Somebody sold him eggs, but it turns out that they sold him eggs from a chicken that was shechted. So somebody had shechted a chicken, they opened up the chicken, they found eggs in the chicken, and they sold him those eggs instead. So the purchaser wants to void the transaction because the purchaser says, look, at the end of the day, I wanted to buy eggs from a live chicken. He sold me eggs from a dead chicken. So he wanted to void the sale. They brought the case before Rabbi Ami. Amar lehu mekach tosu. Rabbi Ami said it's a fraudulent sale, or to say it's a mistaken sale. Bahadar, and therefore you're going to both say any situation of a mekach tos. Mekach tos means I think I'm purchasing A, but in reality the seller sells me B. That is grounds to void the sale. When we void the sale, it means again money goes back to the purchaser, item goes back to the seller, and shalom aizras. The Gemara says pshita. That's obvious. Meaning again, both say obviously it's a mechatos. The guy said he wanted to buy eggs from a live hen. He was sold eggs from a shechted hen. So obviously, again, it's a mechatos. It's a voided sale. The Gemara says no. Mal detem. What would you have said? Hayla achila kaboilahu. That Israel will say. See, the reason we assume also that the sale is voided is because why did the purchaser want eggs from a live hen? Because the Pashtus, he was interested in raising chicks. So therefore, again, if you get eggs from a live hen, do those eggs have the ability to become fertilized and then could then hatch eggs? So the Gemara says, well, you might have thought the following. I might have thought that in reality, no, he just wants eggs to eat. The guy wants to make an omelet. That's what he wants. So if that's the case, why did the Dafka ask for eggs from a cackling hen? Why did the Dafka ask for eggs from the live chicken? And the only reason he asked for these type of eggs from the live hen was why? Ditzrivan. Rashi says, Tzrivan, Loshon Mevushalos Kol Tzarchan. Because again, the egg that is laid is more mature, more fully developed than the one that is found within the mother. So it's not that he wants to actually raise chicks, it's just that he wants a fully developed egg, but at the end of the day, it's all for consumption purposes. So the Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina. So it would be the ramification that if he was really only interested in eggs for consumption, there one in fact would be the ramification of eating these eggs, eggs from the cackling hen versus eggs from the shechted hen. So the Gemara says, "Lemesavle beni ubeni." See, I might have thought that since at the end, I might have thought like this: if his intent was really only to purchase eggs for consumption, and he just wanted eggs from a live hen because those would be a little bit more mature, those would be more fully developed, and he was sold eggs from a shechted hen, so I would have thought the legal, the halachic resolution would be what? that the seller should refund the amount of money, the difference between the value of eggs from a live hen versus a shechted hen. Therefore, the Gemara says, Kamashman, Rabbi Ami says, no, it's a mekachtos. Kamashman, the Rabbi Ami, on the other one, the guy, that when the purchaser wanted to purchase eggs from a live hen, what he was really wanted to do was what? He wanted to raise chicks. Therefore, when he gets the eggs from the shchuta, from the shechted hen, which cannot be fertilized, what the whole reason for the purchase was voided, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, the sale itself is voided. Another case, Hahu d'amar lehu beid d'dachra. There was another individual who said he wanted to buy Beid Dachra Laman. There was a guy who was going around and saying, who has, Rabbi say, Dachra literally means a male. So what it means is fertilized eggs. So he was asking, who has fertilized eggs for sale? Who has fertilized eggs for sale? So the Gemara says, so Yahavulei Beid Safna Me'ara. They went ahead and instead he was sold, the seller sold him. We'll say it literally means eggs that were fertilized from the ground. We'll say apparently in hen physiology, there are two ways that the hen lays eggs. The idea is that the hen only lays eggs after stimulation. So stimulation could occur in one of two ways. Either a rooster, either the male chicken, or it rubs itself against the ground and causes and then lays the eggs afterwards. So that's the lashon of Be'id Safna Me'ara, means again literally eggs that were fertilized from the ground, which means the hen rubbed itself against the ground and laid the eggs like that. So what happens? So again, so this person wants to go ahead and purchase fertilized eggs, and it turns out that instead he got, you know, natural laid eggs. So asla kamid Rabbi Ami. So once again, the purchaser comes before Rabbi Ami. No, I didn't get what I wanted. Amalehu mekachtosu. Rabbi Ami says, okay, the sale is voided. The purchaser wanted to get fertilized eggs. Instead, he just got regular laid eggs, and therefore again lemaisa, it's a mekachtos. So the Gemara says, v'hadar, and therefore he commanded the seller to refund the money to the purchaser. So the Gemara says again, pshita, that's obvious. Now the tamo, what would I have thought? Because once again, remember the whole reason he would have asked for fertilized eggs was because he wanted to raise chicks. So I might have thought the following. Now the tamo, hay la achila kaboilo. No, maybe in reality the purchaser did not want to raise chicks. He also was only purchasing these eggs for consumption purposes. If that's the case, then why did he ask for fertilized eggs? V'hay dekamar dedichra mishum deshamin antfei. So apparently fertilized eggs are shaminatve, they're bigger, they're literally shamina means fatter, right? They have more nutrition in them. Therefore, the mainafkamina, the meswala baini, and therefore perhaps the only thing that the seller should have to do is what? Is refund the purchaser the difference in value between fertilized eggs and non-fertilized eggs. Kamashmalon that halocha lamaisa, when the purchaser says that he wants to buy fertilized eggs, it's clear that his intent is what? What does he want? He wants to raise chicks. And therefore, again, if you give him unfertilized eggs, lemais, again, it's a mekachtos, and the sale itself could be voided. V'bai seima. Well, so now the Gemara gives another interpretation of the statement of Rav. Maybe when Rav said, beitza imitzi asa nigmara, that when an egg comes out of its mother, it's fully finished. Maybe what that means is the following. V'bai seima, my imitzi asa nigmara. What does it mean that when the egg comes out, when the egg comes out, it's finished? Im yitzias ruba nigmara. Well, this is very interesting. It means that once the majority of the egg comes out, then it's considered as if the egg itself has already been born, has already been laid. So the Gemara says, and what does that mean? Kud Rabbi Yochanan. Don Rabbi Yochanan, beitza sheyatza ruba me'erev yom tov. It's an interesting case. If you have an egg, if you have the majority of the egg came out of the mother on erev yom tov, the chazra. And then what happened? And then for some reason, the egg went back into the mother. So the halach is muteres la'achla b'yom tov. You would be permitted to eat that egg on yom tov itself. So we'll say, what's that case? So erev yom tov, again, the majority of the egg comes out of the mother. Then it, for some reason, retreats back in. And then on yom tov, it comes out again fully. So that is not called a beitza shenol d'yom tov. That is not called the egg that was born on yom tov. Why? Because since the majority of the egg came out on erev yom tov, it's as if it was already laid on erev yom tov. And therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, therefore it's permissible for consumption on yom tov itself. That would be the statement of Rav. V'ika da'amar, others say, ma'im yitzi'asa nigmara. Others say, no, what does it mean when Rav said that when it comes out, it is completed? So, im yitzi'as kula nigmara. Perhaps what Rav was saying is, no, it's only once the egg emerges fully is the egg considered to be complete. Im yitzi'as kula in, aval ruba lo. And therefore, again, it's only once the egg fully comes out is it considered to be a full-fledged egg. About ruba lo, but if the majority of the egg comes out, it is not considered as if it has been born. Ula afuke mid Rabbi Yochanan, and this would come to exclude the position of Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say two different versions as to what, according to the first version, Rav actually subscribes to the view of Rabbi Yochanan, that as long as the majority of the egg came out on Erev Yom Tov, it is as if the egg has been laid on Erev Yom Tov. Therefore, when it really fully comes out, on Yom Tov itself is permitted for consumption. Or second approach is that no, what Rav is actually coming is to argue in the position of Yochanan. That says Rabbi Yochanan says that the majority of the egg comes out, it's as if it's born. Rav actually holds that the entire egg must come out in order for the egg to be considered laid. So the Gemara goes weiter. Gufa. Hashokhites atarnagolas umatza babetzim gumuros. Mutaros la'achlan b'chabos. It's a very interesting case. If one shechts a chicken and finds fully formed eggs inside, it is permitted to eat those eggs with milk. Now, we'll say the logic behind that particular statement seems to be what? Seems to be that lemaisa, again, fully full-fledged eggs are already considered to be separate and independent of the mother, and therefore they're eggs, because they're eggs, lemaisa, again.
With the shells,
fully fledged eggs, correct. You're permitted to go and eat them with milk.
Isn't that conflict exactly what you said just now?
Good, that's why it's a kasha.
Oh.
Correct. Gufa means the Gemara is raising a question. Correct. Rabbi Yaakov says, "Im hayu mu'uros begidin asuros." And we'll say Rabbi Yaakov comes along and says that if, is actually interesting, mu'uros begidin literally means if it was covered with connective tissue. And I will say what this is dafka referring to over here is if the eggs were covered with connective tissue, which means that they're still connected to the ovaries of the chicken, right? So I don't know why you want to eat it with milk or eat it for at all after seeing all this, but all right, in any event, so you go ahead and you see it again surrounded by the connective tissue and still connected to the ovaries. So Yaakov im hayum uros begidin asuros. So Rabbi Yaakov says that literally, if it's covered with connective tissue, still connected to the ovaries, you may not go ahead and eat it with chalav and eat it with milk. So the Gemara says, "Man tana lahad the Tan Rabbanan." So we'll say, see, here's what we have. So you have over here that if the eggs are fully formed, not connected to the ovaries, then it appears that the eggs are reckoned as a separate entity and therefore can be eaten, consumed with milk. Rabbi Yaakov qualifies, and that's only true if they're not covered with connective tissue. If they're covered with connective tissue, then essentially, then what are we saying? We're saying they're part of the chicken. Once they're part of the chicken, then what? You may not eat it with milk. So the Gemara says, okay, so now hold that. Now, man tana lahu tana rabbanan. So now the Gemara is going to quote another braisa. Ha'ochel minavelas of tahor. If one goes ahead and eats from the carcass of an oftar, of a kosher bird. Now, we'll say, listen to this. We're talking about a kosher bird that died without shechita. That's what's called a nevela. So it's an interesting halacha. Actually, if you look at Rashi, nevelas of tar, it's almost right across in Rashi. Metama ha'ochel kame begadim shu lavash b'shas b'liyasa ve'ema tumas mago masra. I'll say the way a nevelas of tar works is the following. If you touch it, you do not become tame. The only time you become tame is how? Is if you eat it. When you swallow of tame, the clothing that you're wearing becomes tame. Coming at you, this is a special din by nevelas of tame. So again, one more time, look at Rashi. So nevelas of tame goes in and conveys tumah to the person who eats it. Letame begadim shuhu lavush b'shas b'liyasa. To convey tumah to the clothing that you're wearing at the time that you swallow. The nevelas of, I'm sorry, it's lost the place. Ve'im lo tumah mago masa. There is no tumah that is conveyed by simply touching or carrying it. So we'll say, okay, so now the Gemara is going to say here, that's the halacha of nevelas of tumah. The shaila now is, what parts of the nevelas of convey this tumah? So the Gemara says, for example, mina shalal shel beitzim. If you go ahead and you eat of the shalal shel beitzim, we'll say, what does shalal shel beitzim mean? Take a look at Rashi. Mina shalal shel beitzim, kishen kivushin ushlulit ukavun b'shedra. Kilomar ha'ochel osam beitzim ba'odam urim begidin. So what's that? Shalal shel beitzim means eggs that are still covered with connective tissue and are connected to the ovaries. So if you eat eggs that are connected to the ovaries, or min ha'atzamos, or you eat from the bones of the bird, or min ha'gidin, from the sinews, or min ha'basra shenitlash min ha'chai, or for that matter, you go ahead and what? You eat from, let's say there was a piece of bird that was separated from the bird before the bird died. So if you eat that piece of meat, in all of these cases, tahor, in all these cases, you're both saying you're tahor. So what do you see from here? You see from here that eggs that have covered with connective tissues connected to the ovaries are not, are what? Seem not to be considered part of the bird. Right? Because we also remember, again, what we're saying over here, these are all these things that we just mentioned over here, the eggs connected to the ovaries, the bones and the sinews, if you eat from them, you do not become tamei, which again would seem to indicate that is because they are not considered to be part of the bird. Yet, mina eshkol shal beitzim, I will say eshkol means the ovaries themselves. If you eat the ovaries of the bird, or mina kurkaban, the crop of the animal, of the bird, umin ubnei me'ayin, from the kishkas, o shehimcha es achila v'gamo, or you took the fat of the bird, you melted it down and you drank it up, so the halacha is tamei. In all those cases, you are tamei, because I will say why, because in those cases, you're mamish eating part of the bird itself. So the Gemara says, man tana, who is the opinion who holds that if you eat eggs that are connected to the ovaries, you are tahor? I'll tell you who it's not. It's not Rabbi Yaakov. Why, Rabbi Osai? Deik Rabbi Yaakov, because Rabbi Yaakov said what? Ha'omer im hayu mu'uros begidin asura. So what did Rabbi Yaakov say before? Rabbi Yaakov said that if you shech the chicken and you find the eggs covered with connective tissues, connecting it to the ovaries, that what? You may not eat those eggs with milk. Which means what? Which means what? That they are part of the bird. So Rabbi Yaakov holds that when you find eggs connected to the ovaries, they are part of the bird. The Braisa just said over here that what? If you eat eggs connected to the ovary, what's that halacha? You are tahor. You are tahor. You are tahor, which means what? That it's not part of the bird. So Amalei Abayi says, no. Mimai, that's not necessarily true. Dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yaakov, hasam el le'inyan isura, aval le'inyan tumul abosai. Remember, you are contrasting, or you're comparing two different cases. Rabbi Yaakov is commenting on a case of what we'll call Isser. The Braisa is talking about a case of Tuma. Maybe for Isser purposes, Rabbi Yaakov holds that eggs connected to the ovaries are considered to be part of the chicken. But for Tuma purposes, they're not part of the chicken. So the Gemara says, "Dechi teima le'inyan Tuma nami nigzar." So but one second, but why? Why don't you say the same way that eggs connected to the ovaries are considered to be part of the chicken for Isser purposes, i.e. that I can't eat it with chalav, they should also be considered to be what? They should also be considered to be part of the bird for tuma purposes, to which the Gemara says, afushe tumahu, va'afushe tuma midrabana lo mefashinan. Rabosai, because we are dealing over here with rabbinic tuma, we remember this is all rabbinic because we're dealing with rabbinic tuma, we try to the best of our ability to limit the proliferation of rabbinic tuma. Rabosai, now the reason for that is, look at Rashi, here's the interesting part. As much as it's tempting to say that you should be more machmir with tuma, there is a downside to being machmir with tuma, and that's what? That should let's say, this come in contact with taros, should this come in contact with, let's say, ritually pure sacrificial items, it would make those items tummy as well. Making sacrificial or taros items tummy is a very serious thing. Therefore, what would appear as a chumrah on one level could actually have negative ramifications elsewhere. So actually, it's interesting. When it comes to being machmir, let's say that we're going to treat the eggs like the chicken itself and therefore not eat it with milk, that we're willing to do. Why? Because the truth is, there's no downside to that. But being machmir by tuma, which could then lead to the proliferation of being metame other things, actually does have a downside, especially when you're dealing with sacred items. So therefore, we are not willing to proliferate tuma. Therefore, even if Rabbi Yaakov were to hold that the eggs that are connected with the ovaries cannot be eaten with milk, but lamais again does not mean what? That he would automatically say that they should be metame things as well. So the Gemara says, the Ikidarmi, others say, matana mina eshkol shal beitzim, tame. Who is the opinion who holds that when you find the eggs connected to the ovaries, it is tame? Amr Rav Yosef, Rav Yaakov, he damrim hayu mu'uros begidin asur. So we'll say in this Ikida Amri, there is another version. The second version is, according to this approach, there is an opinion who holds that when the eggs are still connected to the ovaries, they do convey tuma of nevelas ha'of. And then the Gemara asks, and whose opinion does that reflect? That's Rabbi Yaakov, who holds that if the eggs were connected to the ovaries, you may not go ahead and eat it with milk. Amalei Abaye, mimai de eshkol, mehanach de talye be eshkol. So how do you know, Rabbi, here's what's interesting. We made the assumption before that when the Gemara said, mina eshkol, it referred to eggs that are attached to the ovary. Maybe it doesn't refer to eggs that are attached to the ovary. Maybe, dilma eshkol gufei, maybe it refers to the ovary itself. Dechitema eshkol gufei mailameh. So Rabbi, what the Gemara is suggesting over here, The verbiage in the Brisa that the Gemara quoted before is that if you eat of the Eshkol Shel Beitzim, Eshkol Shel Beitzim sounds like eggs attached to the ovary. So the Gemara says, maybe it doesn't mean eggs attached to the ovary, maybe it means what? The ovary itself. So the Gemara says, well, what's the chiddush? Obviously, if you eat the ovary of the chicken, if you eat the ovary of the Nevelas Oaf Tahor, of course you're going to be tummy because you're eating part of the oaf itself. To which the Gemara says, no. I'm sorry? It's an avelas of tahor. You become tamei, but it's an avelas of tahor. It's an avela of a kosher animal. So the Gemara says, Why should consuming this particular piece be any different than consuming the crop or consuming the kishkas, the b'nei me'ayin, the intestines? The afagav, the basar ninu, kevan de'ika inshi de'lo achli, itzrich la'ashmeinan. Hachanami, kevan de'ika inshi de'lo achli, itzrich la'ashmeinan. So we'll say, here's the interesting part. Now the Gemara is suggesting, by the way, that eshkol does not mean eggs attached to the ovary, but rather what? It means the ovary itself. So we'll say, what's the chiddush of telling me that if I eat the ovary of a nevelas of tahor? Again, remember, it's about a nevela, right? The carcass of a kosher bird. So if you eat the carcass of a kosher bird, you become tameh, or so your clothing becomes tameh. And the braisa is coming to tell me, oh, and what's included as part of the kosher bird? The ovaries. What's the chiddush? Of course, the ovary is considered to be part of the kosher bird, to which the Gemara says, no, because it's comparable to the crop and the intestines. What does that mean? These are parts of the bird that people don't normally eat. So because people don't normally eat it, I might have thought that therefore, again, they don't have status of the bird. And therefore, if you eat it, you should not become tamei. Kamashulam, because it is an edible part of the bird, the mice, again, it is reckoned as the bird. And therefore, if you eat it, you would, in fact, become tamei. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say, okay, so now we go back from that. Tan Rabbanan. Kol shetashmisho bayom. Nolad Bayom. Rabbi says it's an interesting idea. The Brisa says anything, any species that cohabits by day gives birth by day. Koshetashmisho balayla, nolad balayla. Any species that cohabits at night gives birth at night. Koshetashmisho bein bayom bein balayla. Any species that cohabits by day and by night, nolad bein bayom bein balayla, can give birth by day and by night. Slimar gives examples of all of these. Koshetashmisho bein nolad bayom. What's an example of a species that cohabits by day and therefore gives birth by day? Zotarnagolas, chickens. Koshetashmisho balayla nolad balayla. Any species that cohabits at night gives birth at night. What does that mean? What is that referring to? So atalif, bats. And koshetashmisho bayom bayom balayla. And any species that cohabits both by day and by night gives birth by day and by night. Who does that refer to? Adam, people. V'chol d'damila. And Rabbi say anything. And again, obviously, these are only examples. These are not meant to limit to these specific examples. But again, anything else that fits into these categories. Amar mar, kol shetashmisho bayom nolad bayom. So remember, again, the example of a species that cohabits by day and therefore gives birth by day. Zotana goles. L'may naf kamino. Who cares? Meaning, it's a very interesting fact, right? I guess it's in good inner conversation. But, what exactly, what's the ramification of this? So the Gemara says, l'may naf kamino. L'chid rabbi mari b'ri drav kahana. The Amara Mari Barek Rav Kahana, because Rav Mari, the son of Rav Kahana, said the following. But it was an interesting case. But like Pekanash Tanagolim, Me'erev Yamtiv, if you looked Pekana in the chicken coop, right? You looked in the nest. You looked in the chicken's nest on Erev Yamtiv, below Matzah Babetza, and you did not find an egg there. Ulamachar Hishkim Umatzah Babetza. The next morning, you are out at the crack of dawn, and what do you find in that nest? You find an egg. Muteres. The halacha is its mutter. Now, Rabbi said, why is it mutter? Because we assume that what? One thing we know for sure, which is the chicken did not lay that egg overnight because chickens don't lay eggs at night. I'm there at the crack of dawn, so there's no way it happened today. Therefore, by my power of deduction tells me that when was the egg laid? Yesterday. And therefore, again, it's a beitza shenolda on Erev Yom Tov. Therefore, it's permitted for you to see the Gemara says, what does that mean? Halo badak. How can that be? I checked the nest. Right? I was there. I was checking the nest on Erev Yom Tov. I didn't see anything. Emar lo badak yafa. He didn't do a good job, right? Meaning the egg was there, right? It's interesting. What we both say, by the way, I just want to tell you something. This is a very important Gemara for one's humility. You know, people think that their perceptions define reality. It's not true. There's reality. The reality doesn't stem with your perceptions. fix your perceptions. Fix your perceptions. Right? So again, you think, oh, you didn't find it yesterday. It didn't look well enough. But the Messiah says it was there. So the Gemara says, the Chazra of it, so it was, or furthermore, the other possibilities, maybe you did check. Okay, you did a good job. The egg wasn't there. But what happened? The majority of the egg came out of the mother, then went back in. Ukidi Rabbi Yochanan. And I'm also saying, it's to be effectively a Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan hold? That when the majority of the egg comes out, it's as if the egg has been born. And therefore, even if it retreats back into the mother, when it comes out the next day, that's not considered to be a Beit HaShnol Gabi Yom Tov. Rather, it's a Beit HaShnol Gabi Erev Yom Tov. Si'ini, is this true? Va'amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shol Amarav. But yet we have another statement in the name of Rav. And what does Rav say? If you checked the chicken coop, you checked the nest on Erev Yom Tov, and you didn't find an egg, and the next morning you got up. You got up early and you were looking for an egg. Asura, the halacha is that it's asur. The halacha is that it's asur. So the Gemara says, Hasam, no, here's the difference. Hasam bidesafna me'ara. There, the post, if you remember again, we spoke about there are two different ways that the chicken lays the egg. Either, again, it's stimulated from the earth, or it's stimulated by the rooster. So apparently when we say that a chicken doesn't lay eggs at night, that's fertilized eggs. That's fertilized eggs. Eggs that come from stimulation with the rooster. But again, if it's stimulating itself on the ground, then the mice, so again, those eggs can be laid at night. So matzav asura v'hasam b'desafna me'ara. Ihochi drav mori nami name me'ara safna. If that's the case, Rabbi said then before, remember, what did Rabbi Mori say? Rabbi Mori said, if you check the egg on a coop on Erev Yom Tov, there was nothing there. You come back in the crack of dawn on Yom Tov morning and there is something there. We assume that's what? That it was there the day before. Why doesn't Rav Mori also take into account that Lamaisa, maybe it was just an unfertilized egg that can be laid at night? Oh, because why? Because what's the case? Rav Osai, there's a rooster around. Right? When there's a rooster around, we assume that what? That the chicken is going to only lay eggs from the rooster and not, again, stimulate itself against the ground. So the Gemara says, De'ika zachar lo safna me'ara. Wherever there is a rooster around, the hen is not going to lay eggs based on stimulating itself against the ground. So the Gemara says, Va'ad kama, this is actually interesting. So how close does the rooster have to be that we assume that the chicken laid the egg as a result of the rooster? This sounds funny to us because the Maisa, you get your eggs from the supermarket, right? But it's not so funny if it's Yom Tov and you need eggs, right? Suddenly, again, this is not like chuckle, there's a rooster, ha, 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 fertilizing, you know, right? But suddenly, again, this is Lamaisa, do we have breakfast? Or don't we have breakfast? So the Gemara says, the Shama Kali Biyamama. So here's the answer. The halach is Amud Beis. I'm not taking any comments on this Gemara. Right? The Shama Kali, you could send me an email. The Shama Kali Biyamama. So the Gemara says, how close does a rooster have to be? It has to be close enough that you hear it. What does a rooster do? I guess it crows, right? You hear it crowing during the day, meaning that it's close enough that you'd be able to hear its voice by day. Rashi points out to Rabbi says something very interesting. Sound does not travel as well by day as it does by night, which makes sense because, again, there's less interference. There's less stuff going on at night, so sound travels farther. So the rooster has to be close enough that you would hear it by day. So if the rooster is close enough to the hens that you can hear the crowing of the rooster by day, that's close enough proximity to know that any of the hens in the area will only lay their eggs from that rooster and not ultimately, again, by stimulation on the ground. So Rabbi Yossi, again, this is a major nafkamina. And understand, Chazal speak about these things. They sound foreign to us, but they knew the behavioral patterns of chickens. Because Rabbi Yossi, again, they were doing these things. So Lamaisa, again, if there's a rooster in some level of proximity, then we assume that the chicken would rather lay its egg from the rooster and not from stimulating itself against the ground, which then Lamaisa means, again, if I find the egg at the crack of dawn on Yom Tov morning, that means what? That egg was there the day before. Either I didn't check well enough, or the majority of it came out, but then went back in. So the Gemara goes right there. Avad Rav Mari Uvda Ad Shisin Bati. So the Gemara just tells this happened to Rav Mari, and there was a rooster within 60 houses of the hen. And again, Rav Mari assumed that even that is close enough proximity to assume that the eggs were laid as a result of the rooster, and not again as a result of stimulation against the ground. Vi'i Ika Nara. Now, I will say the Gemara just tells us a couple of more interesting rooster facts. V'i'ika Nara, if there is a river in between the rooster and the hens, I guess the rooster's not crossing the river. Not crossing the river, you know. Whatever, as interested as he may be, he is not crossing the river. So the iikanara, if there's a river in between the rooster and the hens, he's not crossing it. We'll find hens on the other side. The iika mavra, however, if there's a bridge, then avra, then the rooster will in fact cross over. Viika mitzra, however, just understand that any bridge, if it's a rope bridge, lo avra. Rooster is not crossing a rope bridge to go ahead and get across to the hens. So the Gemara says, oh, by the way, hava uvda v'avra mitzra. We actually know there was a case where the rooster did cross the rope bridge. So apparently, again, it depends on the rooster. Then my ukimta. So we'll say now in all seriousness, again, remember, like I said, in all seriousness, we chuckle about it, but understand that l'maisa, this has actually the behavioral patterns of the chickens. Poshet does have a halacha l'maisa ramification, and absolutely has a major ramification on ochel nefesh v'yom tov. So the Gemara says, "B'mayo kimta." So now, how did we establish this case? Rashi says, "B'mayo kimta l'di Rabbi Yosi b'Rab Shol." So we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Yosi ben Shol was the second opinion on Amud Aleph, who said that if you checked the coop, you checked the nest on Erev Yom Tov, and you did not find an egg in the nest, and you came back tomorrow morning and you found eggs again, the halacha is that the egg is aser. He argues on Rav Mari name Rav Kano. So how did we establish this case? But my okimta, b'desafna me'ara. It must be that what? That the chicken is laying an egg as a result of what? Stimulating itself against the ground. Meaning of Osai, that apparently a chicken will only lay fertilized eggs during the day, but a chicken will lay unfertilized eggs at night. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, my area badak. So who cares if you check the nest on Erev Yom Tov? Ki badak nami. The truth is, even if you didn't check, the halacha is the same. To which the Gemara says, no. Ki lo badak imam me'es mahavi. No, because if you didn't check the nest at all, even Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul would agree that lemaisa, if you did not check the nest at all, that perhaps you could assume that the egg itself was laid on Erev Yom Tov. So what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. The only time that Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul will say that the egg is Asran Yom Tov is when you checked before Yom Tov and it wasn't there. But if you didn't check before Yom Tov, then Lamayisa, again, we could assume that the egg was there. We could assume that the egg was laid on Erev Yom Tov. Now, why is that? The Gemara says, Ihachi, ki badak nami, sorry, I lost the place. Ihachi ki badak nami. But if that's the case, then why don't you assume that even if you did check it, Ema yotzesa ruba v'chazra, the Chazrihi, why don't you say that it's a case of where the majority of the egg came out and then retreated back into the mother, Kid Rabbi Yochanan, and I'm also saying like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan hold that when the majority of the egg comes out, L'maisik, and it's considered as if it's been born. Rabbi Yochanan lo shchiach, because Rabbi Yochanan, again, that case of Rabbi Yochanan is not shchiach. It's not common. It's not common for a chicken to, for the majority of the egg to come out and then for it to go back into the mother. But Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shol Amarav, Hai tuma shechika sechant l'gluya. So we'll say that ends the sugya of the majority of the egg. We will discuss. We'll go back, by the way, and discuss all of the halacha l'maisa in just a little while. Well, actually, not a little. We'll do it tomorrow, Mirat Hashem. But that ends the sugya. Now, once the Gemara quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, the Gemara tells another one of his rulings. And what's the other one of his rulings? Hai tuma shechika. Tumash chikra bosa means liquefied garlic. If you have liquefied garlic, sakanta ligiluya. Sakanta ligiluya means we'll say that it has a sakana of gilui. Gilui, we had this before. Gilui means that there are certain liquids that you cannot allow to remain uncovered overnight. There was a fear, ultimately, that a snake would come to it, inject its venom into it, and if a person were to consume it, the mice could go ahead and put a person in mortal danger. So here you have Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul saying that this iser of gilui also applies to liquefied garlic. Okay, it has absolutely nothing to do with anything we're learning. The only reason the Gemara is bringing it up is because it's another statement of Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul. Okay, weiter. So we'll say now we're transitioning again. So tomorrow, you watch the email. We may actually start a little bit earlier tomorrow so that we could tie up some of the halacha lemaisa from these sugyas, because now we have effectively come to the end of the egg sugya. Of the egg sugya. So now the Gemara says, now we transition to the next machlokes in the Mishnah. What was the next machlokes? All about schametz. So remember again, Beis Shammai said, Seor b'kizayis, that if you have, that Seor means, I will say, like we translate it as sourdough. sourdough, that the shear of sourdough is a kezayis. And remember what did Beis Shammai say? And chametz, but chametz itself, meaning a leavened item, was koseves, was the size of a large date, which is a little bit less than an egg. And Beis Hillel said both seor and chametz, the shear for both of them is kezayis. So he says, my tamar de Beis Shammai. What is Beis Shammai's logic? Im ki lichtov rachmana chametz lo bay seor. So we'll say, here's what Beis Shammai is picking up on. The Torah phrases the prohibition of bayira bayimatze, of consumption, of a possession, for seor and chametz. Meaning the Torah mentions both seor and chametz. So Beis Shammai is intrigued by this. You didn't need to state both. Why don't you just say the following? Im ki lichtov rachmana chametz v'lo bay seor. Let the Torah just phrase the prohibition by chametz itself. You don't have to even speak about seor. Va'ana amina, and I would have said, I would have said that chametz, that literally chimutz kasha, what it means, it's not a strong leavening. Now, what does it mean that it's not a strong leavening? Both say the chilik between chametz and seor is what? They're both chametz. What's the chilik? What's the difference between them? Seor has the ability to make other things chametz. Chametz itself is chametz, but can't create chimutz and other things. So I'm going to say the following. If you're already telling me, umah chametz shein chimutz kash, that's what it means, chametz that doesn't have a strong chimutz. Strong chimutz means, Rabbi, it can't make other things chametz. And yet what? And yet it's asher bekizayis. Seor she chimutz kash lo kol shekein. That's certainly seor that can make other things chametz. Certainly, again, it should also be asher bekizayis. So therefore, the Gemara says, Seor de kasev rachmana lamli. If that's the case, why does the Torah have to state Seor separately? Lomar lecha shi'uro shalzeh, lo kishi'uro shalzeh. So Rabbi, according to Beis Shammai, the Torah could have just said chametz. And by telling me that chametz is asur b'kizayis, I would have known for sure that Torah is asur b'kizayis. But yet the fact that the Torah has to state both of them indicates to us what? That they have different shi'urim. And therefore, says Beis Shammai, the shi'ur for Seor is with the kizayis, and the shear for chametz is a koseves. According to Beis Hillel, tzrichi. No, you have to write both. Torah had to write both seor and chametz. Why? Because of rachmana seor. Because had the Torah just phrased the prohibition, this is all about possession. By seor, hava amina mishum dechimutz akasha. I would have said the reason why you can't possess seor is why? Because seor is very powerful and that it can make other things chametz. Ava chametz dein chimutz akasha imalo. But I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, when it comes to chametz, which itself is chametz, but can't make other things chametz, perhaps there's no prohibition against possession, therefore tzvicha. Therefore, the Torah must state both of them explicitly. And furthermore, had the Torah just said you can't possess chametz, okay, I would have understood that. Why? Because it's fit for consumption. Therefore, you can't possess it, lest you come to what? Lest you come to eat it. But seor itself, which is not fit for consumption, imalo, perhaps there's no prohibition of possession. Therefore, tzvicha. Therefore, you need both. Ube Shammai les lehu Rabbi Zera, and Beis Shammai clearly doesn't hold the Rabbi Zera. What does Rabbi Zera say? Dam Rabbi Zera pasach had kasev b'seor v'siyem b'chametz. The pasach begins by talking about seor and ultimately ends, concludes with chametz. Lomar lecha zeu seor zeu chametz. Because Rabbi Zera says, why does the Torah begin with seor and chametz to teach you that what they're the same? Which are also reflective of the view of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds both chametz and seor are reckoned the same way, that they're both aser b'kizayis. So the Gemara says, so therefore, Beis Shammai clearly doesn't hold the position of Rabbi Zera. To which the Gemara says, no. Le'in achila kuli amalo pligi. Now, both say, you have to distinguish between what we're talking about over here. When it comes to consumption, no one disagrees. Now, what does that mean? That when it comes to achila, look at Rashi. Le'in achila kuli amalo pligi. Rashi says, da'afilu Beis Shammai modu, the chametz chayiv b'kizayis kiseor ba'achilaso. Rabbi say, when it comes to consumption, even Beis Shammai agrees that everything is asr b'kizayis. So when it comes to consumption, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on the same page, that you may not consume a kizayis of chametz or seor. And if you do so, what happens? You chayiv kares. Chayiv kares. Kipli, when do they disagree? Li'inyan beer. Rabbi say, literally, when it comes to beer means destruction. Rabbi say, again, when we say destruction, what that really means is possession, right? How much chametz are you not allowed to possess? What is the shear to make you in violation of bal yira'ah bal yimatza? Which is another thing, how much chametz do you have to destroy? Like, when I say you have to destroy any amount, what it's saying is, how much chametz would you have to actually possess, meaning that you did not destroy, in order to be in violation of the prohibitions of Bayiroe Bayimotze? That's what the Machlokia says. Keep legal in your beer. Beis Shammai Savri lo yalfinon beer me'achila. Beis Shammai says that we do not learn out the criteria for possession from the criteria for consumption. And therefore, again, the criteria for violation of consumption, Beis Shammai agrees, is what? Is a kizayis, but the criteria for possession depends on Seor versus Chametz. Seor is going to be a kizayis, Chametz is going to be a koseves. Ubeisilas, right? Beisilas says, no, yalfinon beer me'achila. And based on the other hand, holds that we learn out the criteria for possession from what they're saying, from the criteria for consumption. It's Marnami Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, Machlokes Le'inyin Beer, Aval Le'inyin Achila Divrei HaKol Zeh V'Zeh B'Kizayis. And also, again, we just have the statement of Rabbas or Rav Yosi, who supports the same idea. The Machlokes Hashem Beisil is only regarding possession. When it comes to Achila, both agree that the Isra Achila is B'Kizayis. Tayinam Hachi Rav Baisa, that supports this. V'lo Yiro'e Lecha, So'or V'lo Yiro'e Lecha Chametz, Zeu machlokes beisham beisam. I'll say here the Bryce says it explicitly. That when it comes to bayiroya, when it comes to bayimotze, that is the machlokes between beisham beisilo. She beisham and I'll say, remember, bayiroya bayimotze are the prohibitions of possession. The prohibitions of possession. So that's where beisham beisilo have the machlokes in possession. Because when it comes to possession, beisham says that the iser of soar is with a kizayis. And remember, Seor is like the sourdough, has the ability to make other things chametz. That's a kizayis. But chametz, just stam leavened material, that's koseves. Ubeisilah, beisilah say, ze veze bekizayis. And beisilah hold that halacha lamaisa, both Seor as well as chametz are both bekizayis. We also obviously be passing like beisilah. And therefore, again, we learn out the isurim of possession from the isurim of achila. And just like the isur d'oraisa of achila is a kizayis, so too the Isra d'oraisa of possession is kezayis as well. All right, we're going to have to stop over here. I apologize. Emir Tzashem, we're going to begin tomorrow morning at 5:45. So begin daf at 5:45. Emir Tzashem, we'll finish that, and we'll also do the halacha lemaisa for the other suits.
9:30.
So what?